Philippians chapter 4. You can remain seated a minute. Pray for the ministries of the ranch. Come and see us if you can. We'd love to have you. There may be some in this room that can help us on staff. One of my favorite parts of the video is when Will says, "We prayed that God would send you to us, and he did. And we pray for God's blessings on you in the fall, and he will." And that's typical of a summer at the ranch. We had 214 young people saved this summer at the ranch. A little over 1,700 responded in services for different things in 8 weeks of camp. So come see us when you can. Pray for us when you remember. I don't know that you will pray for us every day, but as God brings us to your remembrance, please do pray for us, all right? Philippians 4, verse 13. If you would, please, let's stand together out of respect to the Scriptures and read it. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Say it with me. Will you please read it with me? I'll give the reference, and then let's read it together. Here we go. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, help, I ask, in these next few minutes as we look to the Bible to see what you have said, help us to understand that you are the one that spoke these words. And help us to see what they mean and what they mean to us and what they mean to our future and to our lives now as your children. Help me as I speak, be with my friends as they listen, and we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Philippians 4:13 is really tied up with Philippians 4:12. So just look at it for a second, if you would. The apostle says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So the apostle, by inspiration, gives to us these words. In verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Back up in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Then in verse 10, the apostle says, I'm thankful for the fact that you at Philippi have helped to meet my needs. Verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, that's important, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then the next verse we've already read. I know how to be abased, that's low. I know how to abound, that's high. I know how to suffer need or hunger, and I know how to be full. And then the apostle says, you know, I'm grateful for your giving. And later he says that God will supply all of your needs in glory according to his riches by Christ Jesus. So it's a wonderful passage. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, what was the apostle Paul? What did he do? Well, somebody says he was an apostle. Well, I know that. An apostle is a sent one, but how did he serve or how did he work? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, and he, that's the risen Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, And he gave those people to the church for the purpose of teaching the church so that the church could serve. So which of these would the apostle Paul have been? An apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. I think those two are the same gift, the pastor, the teacher. Which would he have been? Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, Paul was a missionary. Have you heard that? Paul was a missionary. Well, now, I don't mean to be unkind, but a missionary is not one of the gifts that God gave to the church. A missionary may be a pastor. Is that not true? A missionary may be a teacher. Is that not true? A missionary may be an evangelist. I have a missionary friend. He's been on the field for 30 years, and he builds buildings for mission works. All right, so what is a missionary? You love missionaries, don't you? We all believe in missionaries, don't we? We just saw the letters from missionaries. What do we mean when we say a missionary? Well, a missionary is a person whose support is provided by other than those to whom he serves. In other words, he pastors, but the church he pastors on the field cannot provide for him. So this church helps. Are you following this? He's an evangelist. But the churches or the people whom he seeks to reach cannot provide for him. You know, the Bible says in Timothy that the laborer is worthy of his hire. And he's talking about the pastor of a local church. So a church should take care of the pastor. But what if the church can't? What if it's so small? Or what if it's on a field where no one makes enough money to care for the pastor? Well, if that's the case, then a church like this one provides support. Are you with me? So to say that the Apostle Paul was a missionary is misleading. Now, he was supported by the church at Philippi, but the work he did was not the work of a missionary. Suppose you said to me, what was the Apostle Paul? And I said, he was a tent maker. Would that be right? Well, no, not really. He provided support through making tents, but that's not what he was. So what was he? Well, we know he was an apostle, and I think as an apostle, he had all the gifts, quite frankly. Now, please don't be offended by this. I think the Apostle Paul was an evangelist. I don't think there's any question about that, and I say that because who among the apostles won more people to Christ or was more clear in declaring the gospel than Paul? Would that make sense? So I think what he did, somebody says, well, he was a pastor. No, he wasn't. Well, he was a missionary. Well, we've already been through that. Well, he was an apostle. I'll buy that. But an apostle is a sent one given to the church. By the way, you know what some people say, if we just think about Ephesians 4:11 for a second? Some people say he gave some apostles, they're gone. He gave some prophets, they're gone. He gave some evangelists, they're gone now, and we live in the day of the pastor. That's both ludicrous and incorrect. That's terribly incorrect. Are there any apostles now? No, but this church benefits from apostles every week. Are there any prophets now? No, but this church benefits from prophets every week. Now, how is that? Well, the answer is through the Bible. See, apostles and prophets have given us God's truth with the Bible. Prophets no longer exist that hear from God and tell us what God says. They heard from God and they wrote down what God says, and we have it. Amen. That's not true with evangelist. Evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. Well, should I think that we don't have them anymore? Well, that's ridiculous. Of course we do. And the evangelist is given to the church just like the pastor. Now, he's not the pastor, but it's important that we recognize the office of the evangelist. Let me ask you a question. Could a church function for a time without a pastor? Yes or no? Sure. A church could be a church without a pastor, couldn't it? How long? Well, I don't know. 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months. But what if a church never had a pastor? Would it be a New Testament Baptist church? No. You got to have a pastor. Church is not a church if it doesn't have a pastor. Now, please don't be offended. You sit up and you hear this. A church is not a church if it doesn't use the office of the evangelist, period. Because God gave the evangelist to the church. So if the apostle was an evangelist, if he wasn't, it doesn't make any difference because he was an apostle. But if he was an evangelist or just an apostle, what's he saying in these verses which we've read? Here's what he's saying. You know, there were times when other people didn't help with my needs. You did there at Philippi. God's going to supply your needs. It's not that I speak in respect of want or lack, because he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then he names two states. This is not Kansas and Tennessee. This is abounding and being abased. He says, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. And he says, in these two things, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, if you'll think of it this way, I can do these two things and all that they include through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, let's start with being abased. That's not a word we use a lot, but it means to be low. Let me just mention three things about being abased. He uses the example here of being hungry. All right. Could you exist and do the work of God being hungry? Well, of course you could. But what if you hadn't eaten for 3 days? What would you be thinking of tonight in the service? If you didn't eat and you were hungry, it's really difficult to think of anything else other than your hunger, is it not? So to be abased and to be hungry, you need to know how to be abased. And the apostle's answer is through Christ, I can do all things. Well, what if you're abased and you're humble? Well, that's good, isn't it? It's good to be humble. But what about self-esteem? What if you don't think much of yourself and you say, now, how can I serve God because I don't think much of me? My son Will says, being humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking nothing of yourself. Well, that's true. But what if you're humble? I mean, isn't that a battle? Aren't you going to have to deal with that? So what if you're abased and you're humble? What if you have need? Suppose I said, how many people in this room tonight have a need? Well, wouldn't we all raise our hands? Well, I hope so, because all of us are needy. Well, suppose you have a car payment due on Thursday, or a house payment due on Friday, or you've got a youngster going to college and it's going to cost about $80,000. Well, it might as well cost $80,000. It may be 8 or 10, but it's a lot. If you're here tonight and you have a need, it's difficult not to allow that need to come between you and serving God. Are you following this? So you need to learn how to deal with being abased. Well, abounding, though, is easy, isn't it, Bill? No, I don't think it's any easier. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And that included both being abased and abounding. So he says, I've learned how to abound. Another word he uses is being full. So since he uses hunger and being full, let's think about that tonight. Is there any problem with being full? Well, let me ask you a question. After church, you went home and you had a big dinner. I don't know what it was, hamburgers, Cheerios, turkey and mashed potatoes. I don't know. But after your Sunday dinner, what did you want to do? Take a nap. So being full is wonderful, but it tends to make one sluggish, does it not? I'm serious. If you're full, if you think you have need of nothing, well, then you may be a little lackadaisical. Number two, what about pride? If you've done well and God's used you and you're blessed, wouldn't pride be a battle? Don't we all know how terrible pride is? So if, in fact, you were full and prideful, wouldn't it be difficult to work with that? What about sympathy? You know, in Romans, the Bible says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we are to weep with those who weep. Have you ever thought about that? Which is easier? Is it easier to weep with people that weep or to rejoice with people that rejoice? Well, if you're full, you're not apt to have many people rejoicing with you. Now, what if I broke my leg? I'm coming down the steps, and I fall and break my leg. Wouldn't it be easy to sympathize? Brother Rice, are you okay? You broke your leg? How does it feel? It feels really bad. That's how it feels. Well, I feel so bad for you. Wouldn't it be easy to sympathize with people who weep? Yeah, but what about people who rejoice? A guy that has everything. He's got a beautiful house. He has a beautiful wife. He has a beautiful car. He has 2 motorcycles and 3 boats. And you say to yourself, I don't care if he breaks his leg. The guy's got boats. He's got motorcycles. He's got cars. Let him break his leg. He can take care of himself. All right. So if you are at the top of your game, you're apt not to have anybody sympathize with you. How many of you people, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. This will be fair, okay? How many of you people in the last month have said to the pastor, that was a good message and it was a help to me? Raise your hand, would you? All right, now keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And 5 of them are in his family. No, I just made that up. That's fine. That's wonderful. That's good. But let me ask you a question, and don't raise your hand on this. How many of you heard something from the pastor that was a help and was a blessing to you, but you didn't tell him? You can raise your hand. Let's do it just for the fun of it. You heard something. It was a blessing to you. All right, now look. Just look around. There's a lot more than 19. Thank you. You can hang your hands down. Now, why didn't you? Well, because he didn't need to hear it. He knows he's great. He knows he was a blessing. By the way, would the pastor know that something he said from the Bible was a blessing? Would he know that? Okay, so why do I need to tell him? You know, sometimes we are careless with being an encouragement to people who have been a blessing to us. So the apostle says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, and I've learned how to abase, and I've learned how to abound. Now, how did he learn this? Okay, it's in verse 13. I can do all things. Let me say it this way. Maybe you'll remember it better. I can do both things. That would be abased or to abound. Now, there are many things included in each, but I can do both things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, the energy or the strength you need in order to do what you should do, whether you are abounding, superfluous. That's the word. I love that word. You're abounding, you have and to spare, or you're abased. The word there is hungry or penury, which means poor. It's an old English word. It means poor. So if you are abounding or you are abased, you can learn in whatsoever state you are in therewith to be content. And that's what the passage is saying. God can use you no matter how seemingly easy or no matter how seemingly difficult, God can use you. You following this? Brother Rice, I never went to Bible college. God can use you. Amen. Brother Rice, I'm not sure I know in order the books of the Bible. Well, you can learn that, but God can use you. Brother Rice, I have a battle memorizing scripture. It's not as hard as you think. You can do it. You can memorize scripture. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. No matter if you're abounding or you're abased, no matter if you fight pride or you fight hunger, God can use you. Now, let me switch this around to help you remember it, all right? When you say, I can do all things through Christ, think of it this way. Christ can do all things through me. That's the point. That the Lord Jesus can do for you. Now, let me give you an example. How many of you people, at some point in your life, you were saved later, and at some point in your life, you thought being good or good enough might get you to heaven? Did you ever think that? Okay, all right, that's fair. Most people do. And the reason the law was given was to be a schoolmaster, to show people that they couldn't possibly measure up. So you want to go to heaven, you'd like to have sins forgiven, but you can't do it on your own, but Christ can do it for you. All right, now, let's see. You want to learn how to abound and how to abase. You can't really do that on your own, but Christ can do it for you. Let me give an example. You have a problem, and you speak your mind. You know anybody like that? You know, I'm sorry, but I just speak my mind. He was stupid, and so I said to him, hey, you're stupid. Because I'm just the kind of guy that says what I believe, and I believe what I say, and I just speak my mind. Yeah, except that those words hurt, and you had no business saying them. Well, you say, yeah, I know, but it's just the way I'm made. I can't stop. And you know you're right. You can't. But I can do all things through Christ. Let me ask it this way. You think the Lord Jesus could be a good member of South Knollwood Baptist Church? Did I say the name right? I'm so proud of me. All right, that's hard for me to remember. Do you think the Lord Jesus would be a good member here? You think he would have trouble with vindictive speech? You think he would be vengeful of people or jealous of people or mad at people or speak his mind even though it might hurt you? You think the Lord Jesus would do that? You think he'd be all right as a church member? You think he could do all things and do all things well and do all things right? Okay, he can do all things through you. The Lord Jesus, in a sense, would be a member of this church if you are. And he's in you. He is in you, isn't he? In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? All right. If you are dead to sin, then who or what, who would be correct, is your life? It's not I, the apostle said, but Christ. So just like you trusted the Lord Jesus and relied upon the Lord Jesus and asked the Lord Jesus on your behalf to give you salvation, so you trust in the Lord Jesus, you ask the Lord Jesus, you rely on the Lord Jesus to provide for you what you need to live victoriously. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, now listen to this, so walk ye in him. Now, why did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Well, for salvation. So the way you're supposed to walk, or the way you're supposed to live, or the way you're supposed to do, is the same way you were saved. How were you saved? By faith in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, I can't save me. I'm trusting you to do it for me. All right? Lord Jesus, I can't love those people. I'm trusting you to do it through me and for me. Lord Jesus, I can't watch my tongue like I should. I can't do it. I'm going to be dead to myself, and I'm going to trust you to do for me and through me what I cannot do for myself. You know, one of the most exasperating things in this world is trying to live a godly life, because you can't do it. You can't do it. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So the idea is, I can do what I need to do through Christ because he'll strengthen me. Or the Lord Jesus can do all things, whether it's a base or it's abounding. Christ can do all things if I'll just allow him to do all things through me. Our problem is, we want to be successful in everything on our own. I have a friend, and he has a friend. And he said to my friend, now this friend of my friend is not my friend. He's a friend of my friend. Are you following this? All right. I have a friend. He has a friend. So this friend of my friend said to my friend one day, I would hate to be Bill Rice III. Now, when I was 35, I became the president. Are you impressed with this? The president of the Bill Rice Ranch. 40 people on permanent staff, 100 people in the summer on staff, thousands of campers every summer. I, yea, verily, even I, became the president. Now, would you like to know why I became the president? You know this. You just may not be brave enough to say it out loud because it would hurt my feelings. But the reason I became president is because of the way I spell my name. Now, I don't just spell my name R-I-C-E. No, no. I spell my name B-I-L-L-R-I-C-E. You know I have a ranch named for me? Did you know this? You say, was it really named for you? No, but who's being exact about this? No, it was named for my father, but I don't think that's important. I signed into the motel this week, and the lady, by this really sweet lady. By the way, her name is Precious. Isn't that a great name? I just love that. That's her name, Precious. I want Mary and me to have another kid so we can name our child Precious. You see, what if it's a boy? I don't care. His name will be Precious. I just think that's a great name. Her name is Precious. So she said, can you give me your address? What's your name? My name's Bill Rice. What's your address? 627 Bill Rice Ranch Road. She said, wow, you have a road named after you. And I said, yes, I do. No, I don't really. I had to confess it. It's named for my father. Okay, so this friend of my friend said to my friend, I would hate to be Bill Rice III. And my friend said, why? And he said, quote, because I would hate to live my entire life and never find out what I could do on my own. Let me tell you something. Don't ever try to find out what you can do on your own, because it's worthless. Now, I have had some helps and some perks and some blessings because of my father and my mother, and I know that. And I'm thankful for that. You are too, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. But here's the deal. The deal is, being a preacher on your own is death. Running the ranch on your own is death. coming to church and giving a big offering on your own is wicked. Singing on your own is destructive. Preaching because of personal ability is worthless. See, I can do all things through Christ. And so what we need to do is to say, Dear Lord, the pastor preached last week about loving your brother, and I can think of some people I don't love. Can you think of anybody like that? Could you think of anybody right now and you say, I don't love this guy? I can. I can think of a guy right now, and I would say, I don't even like the guy. He's born again. He's blood-bought. He's a preacher. He wins people to Christ, and I don't like him. You say, Brother Rice, what you mean is you love him in the Lord, but you don't always enjoy fellowshipping with him. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is I don't like him. All right, you say, well, that's not right. Well, it isn't, is it? It isn't. But left up to me, that's the way it's going to be. Well, you say, yeah, but shouldn't you love the guy? Yeah, I should, but I can't. Shouldn't you like the guy? Yeah, I should, but I can't. Are you following this? Okay. I can do all things through Christ. It's not just pious platitudes. It's not just speaking piously. It is the truth. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in everything and all things to be content. Let me give you three suggestions and our time is gone, all right? Number one, please know that you cannot be what you should be on your own. Know that. And know that you can be what God would have you to be through Christ. Please know that. Number two, dominate your attitude. Like things because they're right, not because they're likable. Should God's people ever do things that may not be pleasant? Yeah, I think so. Now, don't get silly, but let me ask you a question. Do you always want to be in church? You always want to be in church? I don't. The reason I'm in church is because I'm speaking. I have to go. All right, do you always want to be in church? That's not the point. Should you always be there? Amen. That's the point. In other words, dominate your attitude. Enjoy God's blessings because they're God's blessings. You know, I'm not a very patient person. I'm sorry. That's another one of my great glitches. I'm not a very patient person, but I'm telling you, I just cannot stand gripers. And I can't stand people who can't be happy no matter what happens. I have a friend. Wasn't the day beautiful? Yeah. Wasn't the day beautiful? It's beautiful. Okay, I have a friend. And if I said to my friend, wasn't the day beautiful? He'd say, yeah, it was kind of hot. Well, I know it was hot. That wasn't the question. The question was, wasn't it beautiful? Can't you just say yes and then shut up and not tell me it's hot? This guy, if he won the lottery, I know he shouldn't play the lottery, but if he won the lottery and he got $50 million, you know what he would say? He would say to me, can you imagine the taxes on my winnings? Yeah, bless your heart, you'll only wind up with $25 million. That's just the way he is. I'm telling you, that grates on me. You say, well, life is hard. Look, I know life is hard, but life is also good. And you can do all things through Christ. And by the way, one day we'll slip the surly bonds and be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Won't that be wonderful? Yeah, so stop griping. You know what I hate about griping? I hate griping because it often makes sense and because it's contagious. You can be the greatest person in the world and the greatest place in the world, and if you're around somebody that gripes, you'll start griping too. Remember Judas? What cost of the ointment? Why, this ointment on Jesus, placed on Jesus' feet, it could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. A lady was honoring the God of creation, and Judas was able to gripe about it. And the other disciples chimed in. Don't gripe. Don't gripe. Don't gripe. Dominate your attitude. Number three. Number one, know that you can do all things through Christ. Number two, dominate your attitude. And number three, lie. See, you'll remember this outline now. See, number three is lie. So you'll remember this. Okay, what do I mean by lie? If I say to you, how you doing tonight? Don't say, well, you know, my lumbago is kind of stirred up again. And my feet hurt me. And, I had a kidney stone 3 weeks ago, and I don't know that I'm really over it yet. Don't tell me that. If I say to you, how are you doing? Lie and say, I'm doing great. We say, doesn't the Bible say you're not to lie? No. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. It doesn't say thou shalt not lie. So I'm saying, lie. You say, Brother Rice, is your theology really right on that? No, it's not. No, it's not at all. But I hope you get the point. My mother used to say, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Which is wonderful, but I never got to talk. I never got to say anything. So the deal is, look, hasn't God been good to us? Amen. You know, I always get tickled about this. You know, what do you think about the poor in America? By and large, the poor in America would be middle to upper middle class to almost wealthy most other places on this planet. My dad was in Africa on a mission trip years ago. And this person said to my father, are all Americans rich? Dad said, no. Well, the guy said, I didn't think so. But I'd heard that all of them were. I heard that all Americans own cars. So he said to my dad, do all Americans own cars? Well, not all of them. Most of them under 18 don't. How many people in this room tonight have title to more than one car, at least two cars? Can I see your hand? Okay, now look around. Yes, South Knollwood Baptist, that's a rich church. It's just bathed in wealth. Would this be considered a rich church? No, I don't think so. A lot of you people have two cars. This same guy said to my dad, I heard that everybody in America has a house. Well, not everybody does, but most of us have a place to live, don't we? And a house with two bathrooms? Can you imagine what that would mean to a native in Africa with two bathrooms, three bedrooms, a dining room, a kitchen? Aren't we wealthy? Now, I don't think it's wrong to ask God for your needs, or for that matter, for your wants. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I don't think it's wrong to ask God for what you want, but just be content with what you have. Amen. And don't gripe about where you are, and don't fuss about things. It's more than just positive thinking, but do be positive in your thinking. I know things are hard. I often say, in fact, I said this to the pastor, the battle rages. It does, doesn't it? I know that. We're all in a battle, and the battle rages, but you are on the victory team side. Thank God for it. Learn in whatsoever state you're in, therewith to be content, and know this, that you can do all things through Christ.